covered a lot of ground today, but we're not done yet in the garden. Let's bring David into the conversation. Has a question with butterflies and hummingbirds. Welcome to the program, David.
Good morning. I'd like to say I'm a 20-year listener. Anyway, I'm looking at two hummingbirds sitting outside my kitchen window right now. And I was wondering, I saw on the website that they have a butterfly garden kind of thing. I wonder if you've ever designed a yard for hummingbirds.
Well, I don't know that we've specifically designed a yard specifically just for hummingbirds. We do have a plants for hummingbirds sheet on our website. I'm pulling it up right now. And it's a pretty good list, and it tells you when the plants bloom. And
you drive past that new hummingbird from going to work.
That's a butterfly.
The butterfly.
There's an exhibit, yeah, on the reservation.
Have you stopped in on that yet?
I have not
yet. I hear
yet.
It's pretty incredible.
That's what I have heard. Yeah, I have heard that. But there's lots of things that are great plants for our landscape and our climate that will attract hummingbirds, butterflies, hummingbirds. Some of them are both. But if you go to our website and scroll down through that list of PDFs, it's down towards the bottom. It says plants for hummingbirds, but lots of different things. All the penstemons and the salvias and the Mexican honeysuckles and coral fountain. Almost anything that has an orange or red or yellow trumpet-shaped kind of a leaf is going to do that. And also if you got a little water. They love little water fountains and little things where they can get a drink out of in the garden, too. So,
just because of what I've been working on at our home and everything and planting, you sound like you're getting ready to put in a bee farm.
Well,
all those things will attract honeybees as well.
Right. Most of them are nectar kind of driven. So bees, pollen, hummingbirds, butterflies, you know, water, all that stuff kind of combines to attract almost any kind of wildlife. So,
and we're talking planting, fall garden. We're right up on the start time.
Getting right on the start time, especially if you want to start preparing and taking a little time. Because most of the things that you can plant now, you can plant a month from now. So, you know, don't be in too big a hurry. Don't cut any corners when it comes to preparing your soil with lots of compost. Gypsum to help buffer that, you know, alkalinity. Get that tilled in, watered good a couple of times. Consider where you're putting it. If it's a new garden, consider how big you're putting it, where you're putting it. If you want a raised garden, conventional garden, those are all questions that you need to get done in the next 30 days, though.
Now, if it's a vegetable I've never done before, where can I go? Maybe, is there a place or a resource or something where I could see this? And I'll give you an example. Last year, we have both raised gardens and in-ground garden. Mm-hmm. We've got a separation. I was blown away at how big a broccoli plant was. I do not remember them being that big. And what's really funny is we only got broccoli about that big. Man, we had broccoli leaves you know, they were Adam and Eve type fans.
Make clothes out of them.
Where could I go see an example of this? Is there like community garden resource, botanical gardens?
I just don't know how you go see them ahead of planting them, because they can't plant them either until it's time to plant them. Unless you went, I guess if you went to somewhere in the upper Midwest right now on vacation and went to but there's lots of community and urban gardens around. Scottsdale Community College has one back behind the college off of Chaparral, east of the 101. Mesa Urban Garden, right downtown Mesa, has a really new, fun urban garden that they're doing that you could see. And those are all raised gardens, by the way, that you can take a look at what they're doing there. So, there's lots of garden demonstration gardens, you know, even in the nurseries. We always grow a garden at the nursery. You know, you can come in, but, you know, we're going to be planting it at the same time you are, so I'm not sure how big of a, you know, you're not going to get much of a head start.
Live and learn.
Yeah. And that's some of it. You know, every garden, I tell people, I can't grow these. Like you guys couldn't grow okra. You finally figured it out. Maybe you did it in a different spot. Maybe your timing was different. Some gardens, may just never be able to grow something. Maybe it's too shady. Maybe it doesn't get enough wind, so it doesn't get pollinated good. There's a number of reasons that perhaps you just can't. Well, maybe you grow a lot of something, your neighbor does a good job with that, you do some swapping, you know.
I would have to say the biggest thing we've learned in the last year is don't plant all at the same time, because you don't want everything ready at the same time. You gotta space it out, especially our zucchini and squash. Man, we got overwhelmed, and those plants were one and done. You know, but our original watermelon vine, it's still got new watermelons that are popping up. So when you space out your planting, so you have a spread in your produce.
Yeah, you know, and having things coming on at different times is a good idea. Also, knowing how big, like watermelons and cantaloupes and Armenian cucumbers, those plants, you talked about sweet potatoes, they get huge. They take up lots of room. So some things you need to really be careful where you put them in the garden. So got to kind of know a little bit of that, and some of it you just do and go, oh, I blew that. I need to, you know. Luckily, you're not trying to make a living at it. You know?
I always look at it this way, where if we had a couple things that, like I said, our broccoli was huge, and we hardly got anything out of it. It just never...
It was all leaf and no...
It was. No, but you know what? All those leaves, we got a ton of organic compost out of that that we just put in with the horse
chickens
manure.
Chickens love it.
And it's feed and... Yeah. So it wasn't wasted. Just because we didn't get to eat it, we could still use it.
That's right.
Thanks for tuning in to The Garden here at Rosie on the House. We're going to be back for 2 hours doing part two on our topic of solar energy. If you've got any question about solar energy, stay tuned. Don't go anywhere.
Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly newsletter. It's filled with timely gardening and home improvement advice, as well as special offers and discounts you can't find anywhere else.